Welcome. I'd like to call this meeting to order. The meeting of the Carson City Regional Transportation Commission. Today's Wednesday, April 10th, 2019. It's 4:30. We are in the Sierra Room at 851 East William Street in the Community Center. Kathy, can we have a roll call, please?
Chairperson Bonkowski, Vice Chairperson Kimbrough, here. Commissioner Bagwell, here. Commissioner McQuarrie, here. Commissioner Studfield. Quorum is present.
Thank you. Agenda management notice. The chair may take items out of order, combine two or more agenda items for consideration, or remove an item from the agenda, or delay discussion related to an item on the agenda at any time. Item three, disclosures. Any member of the RTC have any disclosures tonight? I see none. Our first public comment, item four on the agenda. If any member of the public wishes to address the RTC, you can approach the podium now. And nobody's coming up. Agenda item five, approval of the minutes. Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? If so, I would entertain a motion.
I'll move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes unanimously. We're now on agenda item six. 6A for possible action, discussion and possible action regarding recommending to the Board of Supervisors approval of the fiscal year 2020 budgets for the Transit, Regional Transportation Commission, and Street Maintenance Funds. Lucia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Lucia Maloney. This item has come to RTC in past years. However, in past years, it was an informational item. I think this is something that RTC should make a recommendation on, so that's a little bit of a shift from past years. I'm going to go through the Transit Fund, the Regional Transportation Commission, the RTC Fund, and the streets maintenance funds, and I'm going to highlight changes from FY20. As I go forward, if you have any specific questions, feel free to interrupt me, and we can go through it that way. If I'm not covering something you're looking to cover, we can discuss it as we go. So starting on page number 9 at the top, we're going to start with the transit fund. The item here I wanted to call out, and about FTA 5339B, about halfway through the federal government grants. That was a grant that we received. It was a competitive grant, so we won't see that in FY20. That's a big change in revenue there on the federal side. You will see we budgeted, if going further down, under charges for services. We're going to group all of our ticket sales under general ticket sales. We've estimated $100,000 for FY19 and FY20. As those come in through the year, when we get the actuals, they disperse through the line, so that's why you see those in past years. Going down to the bottom, miscellaneous other income, you see $3,000 there in FY19 and nothing in FY20. That was the Rotary donation for those transit shelters, so that's what you see there. Moving forward, if we have donations, we're going to put them in this line item. Turning the page to the back side, to the next page, the Carson City Transit Fund, the total revenue there is $1.934 million for FY20. That's down from the 2.4, primarily that's that competitive 5339B grant. Of course, if we get competitive grants throughout the year, that revenue would increase. Going down to expenditures, professional services operating contract, this is under services and supplies, the second line. We anticipate that the operating contract with MV Transit, as we head into our option year, we anticipate costs will go up. If you remember, in December of 2017, we did an amendment to that contract to increase driver wages $2, of which MV would pay $1 and the city would pay $1. That did not carry through into the option year, and so that is something we anticipate that they will request. Moving down to the internal services charges to general fund, near the bottom of services and supplies, you'll see an increase from FY19 of $44,000 to $120,000. These are charges that our department has no control over, but it comes from downtown. The primary reason for this increase in transit has to do with the JAC relocation in 2018, so this is repaying all of the general fund services that we receive for that, including facilities and some other charges. Okay, so that concludes transit. Do you have any questions on that one?
So just a couple.
One, just for an understanding on the program, I had the our CFO give you a call to let you know I was going to ask this. So while I'm looking at 1803 and 1899 with the offset for the Medicaid, can you explain that a little bit to us, please?
Sure. I appreciate you asking, Lori. I apologize for not giving it in my presentation. So the Medicaid is a little bit unique and how they do their invoicing. So what they ask is that the city pays them the local match. They invoice us for our local match, and then they then give us the full amount. And so when we had started doing this, you know, and when Graham Dollarhide was here, we had asked for an expense account for that local match portion, but it was never an expense. It was a deduction off of what they gave us for those rides. Our CFO created what she called a contra account to offset that revenue. And so that's how that is managed, and it's only when we do like that in transit.
So may I follow up? So just for clarity, are you saying we're both the actual vendor to bill for a Medicaid service, but then we agreed to provide our own match? Is that really why it's offset like that?
Yes.
We're both the vendor and the match provider.
Right.
Okay. And then my other question really goes into, am I reading this right to say that the ending fund balance for this fund is projected at $37,835? Or did I miss? Because that says unreserved fund balance. Is that what we're anticipating? We started at $308,015 as the beginning, and we're going to end with only $37,000. Is that sufficient cash flow?
That's correct. And, you know, the way the numbers are penciling out, it's showing a positive. But you know, Supervisor, that this fund is requesting a supplemental from the board on the 18th as well. And so that $34,000 is cutting it really close. And, you know, the way the revenue works in this fund, you only get the revenue if you accrue the debt to get reimbursed with the federal grants. And so, you know, it can be tricky, and if we don't accrue the right expenses to get the higher match, to get that revenue from the federal grants, you know, we can run right on the edge. So we are running really, really close. That increase in the general fund transfer to the 120, that is going to be a hit for us. We knew it was going to come. It is sort of what it is at this point. But it is, you know, something we're going to have to keep an eye on.
I'm just really concerned that we have sufficient. And one of the things that helps point that out is when you look at our interest earnings and actually see in the fiscal year 18 actual, it's negative, which told me the story that we're not able to bill federal grants fast enough and we're ending up with negative cash flows. And so, why is that just the absolute bare minimum that you're trying to do then to get by without having to hit the general fund? I mean, are we getting the least amount of transfer from the general fund?
We're trying to be as streamlined as we can. I can tell you we are estimating $100,000 for FY19 in ticket fund revenue, as well as $12,000 in advertising revenue, and I can guarantee at this point that both of those will be significantly short.
Short on top of it. Well, I'm not going to argue with the budget that we're proposing, but I do think we're going to have to do some thinking up here on what we're going to do for this fund. I just don't think it's stable, and so I'd like to see maybe some thoughts that we have and going forward, because we can't just keep subsidizing.
Great questions. You know, looking ahead, and this board's aware, we're undertaking, we've initiated the transit planning effort to look at a couple different things, streamlining routes and services, potentially looking at going down to a smaller transit bus size, which has lower maintenance costs and some different things we're looking at. We're also, our new transit coordinator is putting together, we're looking into an advertising plan. As you know, RTC has an advertising policy. There may be some significant improvements that could be made to help improve our advertising revenue. We're also considering some kind of different ways to bring in additional ticket revenue for fares. So those are some things that are coming, but it is running close, and you're very observant to that.
I know numbers.
Any additional questions? Go ahead, Mark.
That just generated questions, is what that did. I mean, nobody would be able to scrutinize those numbers, but don't be sorry. I think that's excellent. The problem is for staff is to, they have all this knowledge before they put a number down, and that isn't behind the number. So to ask the tough questions is good, but it also prepares staff for the understanding that, yeah, they might have to look in 6 months of alternatives. Alternative plan before you end up in the next fiscal year of how we're going to handle that. So we always leave that upon staff to do that because there's no way we can go through a budget and know everything behind it other than somebody like yourself looking at a pretty slim figure that she had a total answer for it and knew it and prepared the budget that way. So I think that's great on both parties. So I understand it much better now, but I'm not in any fear or worries about being, you know, behind in budget, so that there's a concern that be brought forward in the short notice. You know, when I was up at TTD, there were some things that had to happen tomorrow for them to make some abrupt changes and changing routes and stuff like that. But I didn't foresee that in any of your answer, that there's some time to fix it and some ideas to get it.
It's
a lot more discussion.
It's not great, so I don't want to be too rosy, but we're not at risk of cutting service at this minute.
See, that's the big one to me is when you start cutting
the
services.
The general fund has the ability or is getting a subsidy. I mean, we need to be clear that we recognize that the general fund of the city is subsidizing the transit.
Right. I knew that.
And it's subsidizing it at a greater rate than was originally anticipated because the fund is not performing as we thought. Because she's having some shortfalls in a few of the activities. And
there's nothing in the future that looks at future ridership bring more ticket sales in, so it's kind of
to
flat.
To reduce
there,
that.
Huh?
Yeah. That's the whole issue.
All right, well, I think this is a good conversation, actually. So I don't just see all these numbers in discussion and go, well,
I think it's rosy. Right?
Well, not rosy, but it's a budget that is approved by not only her, but her boss sits back there, too, probably. So thank you for that discussion, actually.
Any additional questions? Okay, I'm going to move on to RTC.
Thank you. So packet page number 11 at the top, this is the RTC fund. This is primarily funded by county option fuel tax, the 9 cents. You see roughly $4 million anticipated in revenue from that revenue source. That second little section there, federal government grants, these are our capital projects. There are some capital projects from FY19. If they're not completed, they'll eventually get carried forward into FY20. But you can see there the projects that we have planned. Going further down, about two-thirds of the way down, the regional transportation total revenue is estimated at $14 million and some change for FY20. This is slightly higher than FY19, and primarily the way it balances out, it has to do with the Tiger Grant, which we have recorded in FY20. If you flip to the next page of that section of the packet, I did want to highlight about half a dozen rows into services and supplies. There's a street sealing account. For the past couple of years, we had a line item specifically for street sealing. You know, with the move to the payment management plan, we're really kind of streamlining what we're doing and trying to be more transparent about how we spend money on our asphalt. And so that account has, we're not planning for anything for fiscal year 20 for that line item. The ISC general fund, since I did mention it, in transit, it increased slightly in this fund, but what we expected. Moving down into capital outlay, the transportation infrastructure account, the 7090. So this is primarily where we have our funds. In other fund sources, sometimes this line item is referred to as undesignated funds. And these are the funds that support our payment management plan implementation. I wanted to note here under FY19, you see 535. In FY19, this account started at roughly $1.2 million, but as you create the project numbers, those funds are moved up to the top under the projects. And so it's roughly the same amount planned for FY20 as FY19. And then finally at the bottom, operating supplies and fleet management. This section at the bottom, you'll see the numbers go, at the top it's 3035. That's the traditional RTC. 3040 is the Safe Routes to School grant fund. So those salaries and operating supplies and fleet are for Safe Routes to School. So that funds the bicycle and pedestrian coordinator. We have a team of Safe Routes to School champions that are part-time. The operating budget for that grant is roughly $67,000 a year, and that program has two trailers that they maintain that we pay fleet for. So that concludes my comments on RTC. Did you have any questions on that one?
Go ahead, Jess.
So we're still going to do street sealing. It just appears somewhere else in this budget. Is that right?
That's correct. Thank you. So instead of pulling money out of the revenue into that line item on street sealing, it's just reserved in that transportation infrastructure account, and we can expend it all with what will be Performance District 2 projects this upcoming fiscal year.
Any additional questions?
Thank you. So now comes a really fun one. This is streets maintenance. I'm going to go through this, but if I say something that's nonsensical, Rick Cooley, the fund manager, is here to bail me out. So a lot of what you see here for FY19 compared with FY20 is all the same. It's the same program. We have many more piles of work that could be done than the revenue that we have here. So you'll see a lot of this is the same. If you flip over to page 2 of this portion of the packet, at the very top, the revenue for this FY20 is $5.8 million, roughly equivalent, though slightly decreased from FY20. And that primarily had to do with starting balance, so it's actually pretty much the same. If you go to the bottom of that sheet, packet page number 14, under street repair, you'll see an increase from 255 estimated for FY19 up to 377 for FY20. That's just the way things balanced out. Again, there's more work than we can do, and so that's what we were able to put in that line. Flipping over to page 3, near the bottom, the big increase that you'll see there is the vehicle replacement program up to $415,000. For FY20, this is to fund a new Tahoe, a pickup, a dump truck, and a fifth-wheel tractor. Traffic signal and street light, right below that, we increased from 100 to 150. This is a similar thing. This is different replacement equipment, stuff that we're working on. Again, more work than we could ever do. And so this is to help catch up on the backlog there. And then finally, equipment. You'll see historically, 17, 18, we spent 250, 207. We spent more in FY19, but we anticipate going back to kind of the 250 range for FY20. So those are the comments I had for the streets maintenance funds. I'm happy to answer any questions or defer to Mr. Cooley if you have questions.
Questions?
Nope. Excellent. Thank you.
All right. If there's no additional questions, and I'll open this up for public comment. If there's any members of the public that would like to speak to this, and I see nobody approaching, so I'll bring it back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors approval of the fiscal year 2020 budgets for the Transit, Regional Transportation Commission, and Street Maintenance Funds.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. It passes unanimously. We're now on agenda item 6B for possible action, discussion, and possible action regarding the allocation of approximately $106,324 from Carson City's apportionment of federal fiscal years 2017 and 2018 surface transportation block grant funds to Fairview Drive between South Carson Street and Roop Street. Dirk.
Thank you, Chair. Dirk Goring, for the record. So I want to start with a little background. So back in 2017, CAMPO, the Carson Area MPO, entered into an agreement with NDOT. This agreement was a four-year agreement, and what it did was it set aside Surface Transportation Block Grant, also known as STBG funds, for the members of CAMPO, Carson City, Douglas County, and Lyon, So this item that we're talking about tonight is just money that is set aside just for Carson City. So per the agreement, there's really two main terms that we kind of keep an eye on. One is that once that funding becomes available, the funding needs to be obligated within 2 years. The second term that we keep an eye on is that we need to make sure that we don't have more than a 2-year balance in the account. So for federal fiscal year, which starts October 1st, goes to September 30th, federal fiscal year 18 money is required to be obligated September 30th of 2019, so this fall. An obligation is a federal term, and that means that we've entered into an agreement with NDOT, which we call the LPA agreements, and that we've been given a notice to proceed for that phase of the project. So for federal fiscal year 18, there's about $26,000 that's unallocated at the moment. Additionally, Silver Sage project, which was about a $748,000 project, has been completed. That project has come in, was completed under budget. So we are in the final phases of closing that project out. We have one more invoice. We're expecting to have about $80,000 left over. And so we're looking at, so this item, we're also allocate those funds into the Fairview project. So again, these funds need to be obligated September 30th, 2019, or they revert back to NDOT and we lose those funds. So staff is proposing to allocate about $106,000 in STPG funds to the Fairview Drive reconstruction project. So the scope will be expanded. We'll be looking at ADA / sidewalk improvements, and we'll also be looking at stormwater improvements along Fairview Drive and possibly at that intersection with Roop Street. So the next steps, so in May, we anticipate, if this is approved, we anticipate bringing forward a LPA agreement with NDOT in May. At that time, that agreement would incorporate the $26,000. It won't incorporate the $80,000. Part of the reason is that agreement, in a month or two, it's a 3 to 6 month process with NDOT to get those agreements all finalized. So that agreement is in the final phase, and we don't want to kind of add new numbers into that equation. Additionally, we are kind of moving forward on design with Fairview, and so it's going to allow us to progress design and really know what we're going to be spending that money on. So the plan is to execute that amendment in May and then come back with an execute the agreement in May, come back with an amendment that's under the 10% threshold, and add those funds to that agreement and allow us to expand that scope. Some additional things to note is that we have the Transportation Improvement Program. We have an amendment currently public comment period is open. We'll be taking that for approval to CAMPO in May. So that's going to kind of outline us programming these funds for the project, the Fairview Drive. So that concludes my comments, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions?
I do have a question about moving the funds around. That seems to make sense to me. I do have a question, though, what you might be looking at spending the extra money on as you move forward with the design of Fairview Drive for this particular segment. Have you come up with a configuration that you're going to use for that section of street yet?
The lane configuration is going to remain the same with two lanes in each direction. There's the additional funds that are going to be used to make ADA improvements. There's a signal at the intersection of Roop and Fairview that's not in compliance. There's some ramps and some driveways that we'll be making improvements to. And then also there's a gap on Roop Street. Farther south, about a block south, there is sidewalk on Roop Street. Roop Street is also is a regional roadway. And so there's a gap in the sidewalk, and these funds will be used to add sidewalk and improve the ADA, ADA compliance within this facility. But the plan is to keep but the two lanes in each direction.
So I'm all in favor of adding the sidewalk and the ADA improvements. I think that's important. I would ask staff, though, to look to see if there's any way you can continue the bike lanes to Carson Street, because they are currently, it's outside the scope of this particular reconstruction project, but it's within the scope of the other bit of Fairview, right? They end a bit to the east of Roop right now. They just, well, the north side of the street heading westbound, it just ends. I mean, right? And then southbound, it starts just after Roop Street heading east. So I don't know if there's an opportunity to narrow the inner lanes and the left turn lane to the extent that would create even a little more room on the curb lane. Because as the traffic volumes have gone down, the Fairview has become a reasonable route to actually ride. I mean, no one in their right minds did it if before, but now that the traffic's gone down so much, and really from a purely traffic standpoint, you only need one lane in each direction. Now, I understand that you want emergency capability if the freeway gets shut down, et cetera, et cetera, and I can appreciate that, sort of. But I still think it would be a good use of the street space to get a bike lane in there, if at all possible. So I would request staff look at that with a very sharp pencil.
If it's acceptable, well, we have looked at it, and you noted many of the comments that I was going to note on, but we'll be happy to look at it more, and we can even bring back some discussion at the May meeting if that's appropriate.
Thank you.
Will you also be looking at and or changing the islands and wormholes in that section of Fairview Drive where all those business driveways are? Because right now it's kind of a cluster.
Yeah. We'll be looking at some of the worm islands and a little farther with the design.
Any additional questions? Is there any public comment on this item? I see nobody approaching, so I'll bring this item back to the commission and entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion. I move to approve the allocation of all remaining federal fiscal year 2017 and 2018 surface transportation block grant funds, approximately $106,324, to the Fairview Drive Reconstruction Project.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Passes 5-0. We are now on agenda item 7, board comments. Status reports and comments from the members. Any members have comments? Jess?
I have a question. So on Friday, we have the open house for the South Carson Street. And is there going to be a presentation? I mean, starts at 2, I believe, right? And goes till 6, something like that. Is there going to be a presentation or more than one presentation? And does it have a time?
It goes from 2 to 6. And it's more of a workshop format. So we'll have the staff will have the plans laid out big, and we'll have boards up. And the thought there is that folks can come when they can, ask questions, and get really detailed into the design. This would be a really good opportunity to hang out with staff, ask some really complex questions, and we'll have the consultant team there. There'll be a lot of resources there, so we encourage you to come on out.
We're still getting questions, or at least I'm still getting questions from people who wonder why we're narrowing the number of lanes. So just if you can make sure staff's prepared to answer that, because that seems to be the number one question that still keeps coming up. And you know, obviously we have the traffic reports that show that it's not necessary to have 3 lanes in each direction anymore.
We will be prepared. And I would also say that any staff that, or any public that ever wants to come ask questions and talk with us, they can come any day.
Thank you. Lori, you have comments? Greg? All right. Then we're moving on to agenda item 8. The next meeting is tentatively scheduled for 4:30 p.m. Wednesday, May 8th. 2019, right here in this room. And agenda item 9, final public comment. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to us tonight? I still see nobody coming up.
May I please provide a public comment, Mr. Chair? As part of the development of the JAC Transit Development and Coordinated Plan, There will be a public workshop for that plan here in the Sierra Room at 2:30 p.m. on April 29th. That will last approximately an hour and a half. The intent there is to provide public comment on transit services needs. We've invited human services providers to come meet so we can hear from them and make sure that JAC is meeting their needs, that we're coordinating with the services they're providing, and that jointly across our community we're planning for the long-term plan that's coordinated. So members of the public, you all are invited, and hope people show up for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
What was the date again? Sorry.
April
29th. 29th, okay.
At 2 p.m., 2:30 p.m.
Can you send us an email?
I will send it in an email. We have a great little flyer that's been prepared, so I will send that out.
Great. There's no other...
Got a hand in the back.
Oh, Lewis, you want to come up?
So that public meeting will be April 29th, 2:30 p.m. here in the Sierra Room.
Go ahead, Mark.
Up at the lake, they had some concerns on narrowing lanes, and they did a half a day of coning off of lanes to show an example of what would happen if you did that. That was pretty successful to show, because they took pictures and were there and recorded all of the findings. So if there's a huge push for a drop in the lane, maybe there's an opportunity to go out and cone it off and shut down the lane for a piece of it, not all of it. It's just an idea that they used up at the lake that worked, actually.
You know, we actually discussed that when we reduced the lanes downtown, and the problem is that it doesn't accurately reflect the change in traffic patterns. So when it's a permanent change, then people find other routes, and when you cone it off, they don't. So it's not necessarily an accurate reflection of the change that you're going to see. So, for what that's worth. Is that correct?
Yes, and still an interesting comment. We will take it back and discuss whether it's something that might be feasible.
Yeah, if it shows a positive change and you know that that isn't the full scope, then I think you could probably extrapolate that to see that there's even more benefit. So, any other final public comment? Last chance, guys. All right, then if there's no objections, we are adjourned.